Did you know nearly one-third of supplement consumers in the U.S. are unsatisfied with the current immune-supporting drinks on the market? Help your consumers get the products they want with Immuse, the novel, clinically researched postbiotic that activates our body's natural defenses at the cellular level for year-round immune support. Formulate with the immune health ingredients backed by 30-plus research studies. Learn more at immusehealth.com. That's Immuse, I-M-M-U-S-E, health.com.
Hey folks, thanks for tuning in to Taste Radio, the number one podcast for the food and beverage industry. I'm editor and producer Ray Lateef, and you're listening to episode 212, which features an interview with NASCAR champion Kyle Busch and Suja co-founder Jeff Church, the entrepreneurs behind upstart brand Rowdy Energy. Just a reminder, if you like what you hear on Taste Radio, please share the podcast with friends and colleagues. And of course, we'd love it if you could review us on the Apple Podcasts app or your listening platform of choice. Individually, Kyle Busch and Jeff Church have highly accomplished resumes in their respective industries. Kyle is a two-time winner of the coveted NASCAR Cup Championship and has been one of the top drivers in the sport for the past 17 years. Jeff is a seasoned business executive and beverage entrepreneur, best known for his work as the co-founder and former CEO of cold press juice leader Suja. Together, they comprise a formidable team as the founders of Rowdy Energy, an energy drink brand formulated with natural ingredients that launched earlier this year. Named after Kyle's sobriquet, Rowdy is attempting to capitalize on a thriving, albeit consolidated, market for energy drinks and consumer demand for better-for-you options. In the following interview, I spoke with Kyle and Jeff about their decision to launch a challenger brand and the timing of Rowdy's debut, leveraging Kyle's fame and fan base in a way that's authentic to the brand and its positioning, managing conflict in their personalities and ways of doing business, and how Jeff is incorporating lessons from the Suja playbook into Rowdy's business strategy. Hey folks, it's Ray with Taste Radio. I'm going to call right now with Kyle Busch and Jeff Church, the founders of Rowdy Energy. Kyle, how are you?
Doing well. How are you?
Fantastic. Jeff, how are you doing?
Doing great, Ray. How you doing?
I'm good. I kind of wish I were in San Diego, where you're based, Jeff. Kyle, you were born in Las Vegas. Is that where you're currently based as well?
Actually, no. I'm in Charlotte, North Carolina. That's where I live now. Being close to the race shops and everything out here just kind of makes more sense to be within vicinity of the team in order for our team meetings and stuff that we have weekly on that respect.
Yeah. You've been racing for a very long time. When did you start racing?
I started when I was 13, actually. And I started in Las Vegas, and I was racing Legends cars and late models and such at the amateur level, and was doing pretty well at that. Was able to get a call from a professional team that they kind of led me into the truck series, and was able to race in some truck series races, and then continued my rise up the ladder and into NASCAR from there. So it's been a quick ride to the top. It only took me like 5 years, 6 years, I think, in my driving career to make it to the NASCAR Cup Series, the top echelon of sports and racing in America. So that was really, really cool for me, and been there ever since.
Very cool. You know, I'm curious about the daily routine of a professional race car driver. How do you mentally and physically prepare for that on a daily basis? And how has that preparation changed amid the current crisis?
Well, as far as normal, when everything is normal, my daily routine is just to basically wake up in the morning, eat breakfast, work out, get some training in. Mondays, we always have our team meetings at Kyle Busch Motorsports, which is a truck series team that I own and operate here in North Carolina. And then Tuesdays, we have our team meetings at Joe Gibbs Racing, which is who I race for and drive for in the NASCAR Cup Series. You know, Wednesdays is typically an off day. And then Thursday would be a day in which I do much of my studying and film preparation and things like that, and watching and getting ready for the upcoming race weekend at whichever track or venue that we're going to. And then typically Thursday nights is the night that we travel out and go to that particular venue, because we will have practice on Fridays, we'll have qualifying on Saturdays, and then we typically race on Sundays. So a lot kind of goes, that's a week, you know, and it's a full week at that. But every day, you know, you try to get to the gym as much as you can and get as much in as you can just to make sure that you're in tip-top shape for the season. Because our season's really long. Our season goes from February, which is around Valentine's Day, our first race of the year, to the finale, which is the week before Thanksgiving. So we have a really long season.
Into the gym, that's something I think a lot of people don't know about NASCAR drivers or race car drivers in general, is that you have to be physically fit to do what you do, which is interesting because most people think, okay, you're in a car, all you're doing is just, you know, moving your foot back and forth or moving your hands on the steering wheel. You know, what do you have to do to physically prepare for every race?
I mean, typically it's just staying in shape. You know, I do some HIIT training. I do some workouts where I'm lifting weights, but yet doing them fast enough with enough repetitions and enough sets that I'm keeping my heart rate going, and I'm basically doing it as a cardio workout as well. I rarely do a whole lot of cardio. I may go out and go for a run here or there, do an elliptical or do a bike ride or something like that, but it's not on the norm, you know, maybe 2-3 times a month at that. So that's typical as to what I do, just to keep the strength going and to keep the workout going as not a whole lot of rest, because as you know, when we're in our race cars and we're running around there at, you know, 200 miles an hour at some of these places at 4 hours at a time, there's not much time for a break. So you're pretty much working the entirety of that that race.
I can imagine it helps to have an energy drink on hand to help you get through the day and to get through these races as well. You've had long-standing ties to the energy drink category, first as a brand ambassador for Monster, and then later with NOS. NOS was the primary sponsor of your race car for a couple of years, and they also had a fruit punch flavor called Rowdy. That sponsorship ended in 2018, and that opened the door to you launching your own brand, Rowdy Energy, right?
Yeah, that's kind of how it went down. There's obviously a lot more to that, but the simple way of discussing it, that's kind of how it went down. So, you know, me being in the energy space for a long time, over a decade, has been quite interesting to me. I've tried to learn a lot and understand a lot about the business, not only just drinking the drinks and being sponsored by a company, but also being a part of the space as well too. Because I'm an energy drink drinker. Like, I have one a day. You know, I get up in the morning, I work out, I can make it through my workout. And then when it's time for lunch, I have an energy drink with my lunch in order to get me through the rest of the day and keep me motivated and keep me going while also rehydrating at the same time through my workouts, because I do tend to sweat a lot. So that was kind of the emphasis with Rowdy Energy and getting on board with Jeff Church and having an opportunity here to make a drink that is not only healthier for you and better for you, but has benefits for you as well too in your everyday life.
Now, again, you know, having known and having worked with energy drink brands in the past, Monster, NOS, I assume you know that it's a very challenging category with a handful of brands that dominate the space. We've seen literally hundreds of upstart energy drink brands launch and fail. So knowing all that, why'd you get into the space? You know, what really motivated you to get involved in a category that is just so difficult to break into and even more difficult to scale and be successful in?
Well, I think the number one reason for me was to obviously think about my time frame and where I'm at in my career and understanding that I have probably about 10, 12 more years left in me to be able to go, and understanding a little bit more about the drink properties of some of these drinks that are out there. It wasn't probably the best thing for you. And so I wanted to team up with somebody that was able to help me with the formulation of a drink that could be better for you, you know, less chemicals, more natural, you know, have a source of hydration that could help you, whether you're in the car or whether you're working out, and keep me going into my Tom Brady years, if you will. So that was kind of the premise of it. But obviously, yeah, understanding that it's a category that is oversaturated, you know, I just felt it though, that if we could have something better for you and better on the market, that people would get an understanding of that and to be able to purchase and buy and consume and enjoy and like that as well too, that it would eventually be able to grow into something special.
Getting into your Tom Brady years, I like that. I wonder if you'll ever see Rowdy Energy as part of his TB12 platform.
Hey, you never know. You never know. I've become friends with the Kraft family, so maybe there's a tie there. We'll work on that. Although he's out of New England now.
He is out of New England, which left a lot of people shaking their heads here in my neck of the woods. Jeff, you know, as Kyle mentioned, you know, he was looking for a partner to help him develop and scale Rowdy. You know, you've been in the beverage industry for nearly a decade, most notably with Suja. What drew you to partner with Kyle, and what drew you to the energy drink category?
Great question, Ray. Thanks. I mean, one of the things I always look for or try to look for in new ventures or new businesses is a way to kind of create a playing field that's slightly uneven. In Vegas, what is it, 52% you have to win to create big buildings and everything. The probability is it's not that big of a percentage. And in emerging brands, it's a little bit the same way, too. You want to tilt that field to your advantage a little bit, and that can be through distribution, that can be through relationships, through product, through celebrity. And, you know, Kyle does that. Kyle helps us, you know, create an uneven playing field. And I think the combination of my talents and his talents and then some of the other talents of the team members we have, including Kyle's wife, Samantha, and we've got this really incredible team that that I think is really set for to be able to scale the growth. But in terms of, you know, in terms of what drew me into the space with Kyle was, you know, we had a conversation early on about Kyle wanted to create and Samantha wanted to create this energy drink line. And we talked about disruption and the importance of that. And we were completely aligned in that if we're going to do something here, the world doesn't need another 55 gram sugar energy drink, right? And for me, I just started to do a bunch of studying on the space. And I had thought that with carbonated soft drinks dropping, I thought they were really kind of going to kombucha and things like that. But in reality, some was going there, but most of it was going to, you know, to energy drinks. And if you look at it, and it is a crowded space and kind of interesting. I probably mentioned it to half a dozen people that I respect that you would know as well, Ray, during the early process. And every one of them said it was a stupid idea. And now that we've got it launched and we're seeing the reaction, it's really kind of validating what our hypotheses were. And a couple of those were that it is a crowded space. There's a lot of people. There's a lot of blood in the water. But there's a couple of unique things about it. First of all, it's a $13 billion category growing at like 8 to 10% a year. That's a big category and a big growth rate. You've got two brands that make up 80% of the category. And one of them is at a price per ounce, at a ridiculous price per ounce compared to the rest of the market. And then you've got this whole Bang situation and Rockstar. And there's a lot of stuff happening. So there's a lot of change happening in the industry. And then on top of that, you've got these functional ingredients that are becoming more mainstream and you can do more with them now. So from a development standpoint, you know, we're able to use ingredients that you weren't able to use before. For example, we're using a rare sugar called allulose that has 80% of the sweetness of white cane sugar, but zero glycemic index. So it's safe for people with diabetes. Well, that allowed us to, you know, create a drink that became the first keto approved energy drink to launch in the market. So, you know, you have to look for, you know, different things and different reasons that you can grow your business. And I feel like a lot of it's perspective. I think most people would say we're probably in the eighth inning of the energy drink game. I'd say we're probably in the second inning, maybe third inning of the energy drink game. And I think the whole next game is going to be about bringing increased functionality to the table, because there's no reason you need to have 55 grams of sugar in it, you know, in your product.
Mike, I heard you're starting a beverage company.
Ray, let's say I was. Do you have any suggestions for a complete partner?
Absolutely. Ingredion. Ingredion is a leading global plant-based ingredient solutions provider to the food and beverage industry with a diverse portfolio, including sweeteners and sugar reduction technologies, plant-based proteins, starches, and hydrocolloids.
Of course. Ingredients 360 Value Framework delivers value according to your brand's specific needs through consumer well-being, environmental impact, and value creation. Ingredients market research and insights for innovation can help uncover opportunities within the beverage space. For instance, figuring out what added health benefits consumers need. They have a network of technical experts that will help you solve your pain points to get you to market faster. With Ingredient, you gain a partner who helps you deliver the total beverage experience that keeps consumers coming back.
To learn more about Ingredient, head to tasteradio.com/beverage.
The New Beverage Showdown returns to BevNet Live in New York City on June 12th and 13th. Pitch your beverage startup in front of a panel of expert judges, our live audience, and viewers tuning into the live stream. To learn more, visit bevnetlive.com.
It is a multi-billion-dollar category. There does seem to be some room for a better-for-you option. But as you mentioned, Jeff, it is relatively late in the game. You know, whether it's the fifth inning or the eighth inning, it's pretty difficult to move the needle as a new brand. How do you see Rowdy as breaking into a game that is already saturated with very well-known brands that have outstanding distribution and the kind of resources that I'm assuming you don't have at this point?
Yeah, it's a good question, Ray. I mean, there's a couple of plays that I'm trying to pull out of the Shuja playbook that were effective. One of them is this concept of collaborative retailer relationships. So, you know, they really do work. And, you know, most of the time people say, here's my widget, buy my widget. And the retailer says, well, I want the widget, but I kind of don't want the corner like that. I want it to look like this, or I want it to be something different. And it's also about like understanding what they want and what they need and providing that to them. And I think what we can bring is to retailers is incrementality. And if we're just another brand coming in and we're just going to, you know, cannibalize somebody else's sales, the retailers don't care about that. But we've been able to really, you know, present a really compelling story to the retailers that we've been pitching so far, that we really are incremental, are going to be incremental, because we can see online our female percentage is much higher as a percentage than the industry average. So the way we design the product is, in fact, kind of addressing the market that we want to bring in. So we want to really bring in the female demographic and really bring in the millennial demographic, as well as maintain our core demographic.
Jeff, you touched on this earlier. There are a lot of brands that would love to have a celebrity or athlete promoting their products. You know, in Rowdy's case, the founder is a celebrity. Kyle, you know, how do you think about using your fame or leveraging your fame in a way that's going to be authentic to promoting and selling Rowdy?
I think the biggest thing is, you know, something that you do that you give everything you have, besides my racing, obviously. This is my next best endeavor that I'm going after right now. And everything that I've done, I've always done it to the best of my ability and to the best that I know how to do. And I've done it to win. And so that's, I feel like Rowdy Energy is no different from that. And with the opportunity to work with Jeff Church and his success that he's had at Shuja and in the beverage space for that matter, it gives us a unique opportunity to bring an enhanced energy formula to the market, as he mentioned. And so I think with us, you know, we have high spirits of opportunity to go out there and succeed.
Can I ask you about your personal fan base, Kyle? You know, Jeff had mentioned that Rowdy has the opportunity to appeal to a lot of female and millennial consumers. You know, I have an assumption about who your fans are, but I could be wrong. Who are your fans, and do they represent Rowdy Energy fans as well?
Absolutely. So, you know, NASCAR fans are out there in the millions, and Rowdy Nation fans are out there in an abundance as well, too. And they're a huge part of what we do each and every weekend that we go to the racetrack, whether they're at home tuning in on television or whether they're there firsthand coming to the racetrack, sitting in the stands, coming in the garage area, shaking my hand or asking for an autograph. There's a huge opportunity there with the Rowdy Nation fans. So it's really fun, you know, and our first way of making it to market was e-commerce and selling it online at rowdyenergy.com and being able to tap into the Rowdy Nation fans and those that support me and about everything I do. There's hundreds of those people, and they've been amazing at being able to take into this. And we've had plenty of them tell us about how good it is or how great it is and how this is their new drink and blah, blah, blah. And so it just spreads by word of mouth after that. And there's plenty of them that are asking for opportunities in retail stores that they want it to be at stores so they could have an opportunity of an easier time being able to go to market, not only for us, but of course for them to be able to buy it and get it to their home.
Kind of a funny side story to that, Ray, is that we're launching our first multi-outlet retailer, Hy-Vee, as we speak in the Midwest. And we looked at our online sales, and we had one consumer had bought 5 or 6 times in our short period of 3 months that we've had the brand on the market online. And we reached out for him and asked him if he'd go in and take some pics of the new set, and he was ecstatic. So what we're gonna do is we're really gonna create our own ambassador program through Kyle's fan base and really tap into that group, because they're our evangelists. And if you have time to look at Facebook or the Facebook interview feed that Kyle and Samantha did, I watched it, and as you're watching it, you see all these feeds going, people talking about the flavors, what they like about them, what they'd like to see as additional flavors or as new flavors. It's a great learning lab for us to be able to work with his base of people that are really evangelical already about Kyle.
You know, we've seen athletes and celebrities with equity in food and beverage brands support marketing and business initiatives in a variety of ways, including ad campaigns. I think about Kobe Bryant with Body Armor getting involved in producing and the creative mind behind some of the ads. We've also seen celebrities even get involved in retailer distribution meetings notably Puff Daddy and Mark Wahlberg, when they were involved with Aqua Hydrate as investors. You know, Jeff, what do you see as the best use of Kyle's time and resources, you know, given that you've seen the spectrum of how celebrities can be involved in a food or beverage brand?
I mean, first of all, I wanted to address the other question you mentioned too, which was the authenticity, which kind of relates to it. And, you know, there is no issue with authenticity. I mean, both Kyle and Samantha are, they are the business. They are actively driving the business every single day. So for me, him being involved at whatever level he wants to drive at is awesome. The things that he's particularly great at are his connections. As you know, with NASCAR, it's very tied into CPG and a lot of the brands that advertise in the CPG world. So he's usually has a direct connection or is one degree away from getting pretty much anybody we want to get to. So, you know, that's super helpful. And then secondly, his meticulousness of design is really excellent. I'm really impressed with his ability to see things and obsess over things that I might not obsess over quite as much. And I think it's been good to get that. But I mean, I think the biggest thing is he's a winner. And, you know, the winning attitude that he has, that he takes on the car track, I actually thought I would never really meet a more competitive person than myself. And I actually think I have in Kyle. And when you get somebody that's committed, this isn't Jeff created Rowdy and then brought Kyle and Samantha in as influencers or ambassadors. This is Kyle created this brand and brought Jeff in, you know, as a co-founder. So that's a real difference in it. And, you know, it's funny when people say, oh, well, do you think Kyle, you know, will Kyle hear about this? Will he know about this? I mean, Kyle is involved. He goes to retailer meetings, he goes to distributor meetings. And whatever he can within his schedule, he'll go to. So, I mean, I've always thought that celebrities have done great, like some of the ones you referenced, or, you know, even Jennifer Gardner on Once Upon a Farm in the natural space is great. But celebrities done poorly or awfully, it's just awful, you know, and I think we're really fortunate.
Kyle, you're a competitive guy? This is news to me.
I've never heard of it.
Well, I mean, that leads to, you know, another question, which we chatted about this in our pre-interview about the notion of success and failure. And the beverage industry is a really difficult, you know, business. I think the failure rate in the first year is about 9 out of 10 brands don't make it. And Kyle, I know you told me that failure just isn't an option for Rowdy and it isn't an option for you personally. Do you ever think about the risks that you're taking in launching this kind of a brand? How do you mitigate those risks?
Well, from the beginning, there were definitely a lot of people and a lot of skeptics that told me that this is never going to work. It's never going to go. It's going to take a ton of money. It's going to bleed you dry, all that sort of stuff. And they're not wrong. You know, it does take a lot of money. It does take a lot of work. It does take a lot of effort. You do have to have a lot of smart people around you and those that have done it before in the beverage space. I feel as though a lot of those people that were discouraging me from do it were ones that didn't know of Jeff Church, that I was going to have somebody that actually had some expertise within the space and that they thought we were just going to do it on our own, myself and my wife. But, you know, we wanted to go out there and get smart people that were able to operate it on the daily, because I'm just not going to be able to do that. And so with my time that I have that I can give to it, I try to give it everything I got, as Jeff mentioned. But, you know, we look at it as though it is an expense. It is expensive. People don't come cheap. And the greater the ones, the more you got to pay and give them what they're worth. So it's been interesting for sure, but we're working through all that. And that's going to be a growing pain for a couple of years until we get to more retail, until we get to a part in which we can become a profitable brand. And then once we're there, I feel like the opportunities are endless and we can continue to strive and grow up the ladder and be a top 3, 4, 5 brand and get ourselves in a good position in the next 5 years.
Mike, I was just in the kitchen and I saw this really cool THC-infused beverage brand called 8th Wonder.
Ah, chill brand. They make cannabis bevs as well as beer and spirits. The product you're talking about is a super tasty cherry limeade cannabis seltzer called Lil Bit. And did you know 8th Wonder was acquired last year by Houston's BioCity Hemp?
Yes, I did. That deal created a world-class, vertically integrated cannabis and craft beverage company. Bio's science-based processes for extracting THC from hemp have made the company the gold standard for cannabis products across Texas and beyond.
Bayou's cannabis portfolio includes 8th Wonder as well as Howdy and Beach Break, all of which are distributed throughout Texas and Louisiana.
You can learn more about all these brands at 8thwonder.com, siphowdy.com, and sipbeachbreak.com.
On June 12th and 13th in New York City, Hear from Icelandic Glacial, Lemon Perfect, GoPuff, Sachet, Diageo Ventures, and Lowe's Foods during the leading event for the beverage industry. Save on BevNet Live tickets through April 26th. Just visit bevnetlive.com.
You do have a highly regarded co-founder in Jeff Church. You know, we've talked about Suja. The way you guys operate, though, is a little different. Jeff, you talked about, especially when you were building Suja, not letting great get in the way of good. But Kyle, great is all you know. You have to be. You are great or nothing. At least that's my perspective on, you know, how you race and how you operate as a race car driver. That would seem to create a conflict into how you see the brand developing. How do you guys manage that?
I think from my vantage point is Jeff is very smart in the space and he's done this before, and I have not grown a business like this before. And obviously I lean on him a tremendous amount, and I give him the opportunity and the leeway to run it and to do what he feels like is right and to go down the path in which he feels we need to be going down. But there are times that I'm going to push. And in our world, in the racing world, we always have this analogy where it's easier to pull a rope than it is to push one. And sometimes, you know, when there's a race car driver that's too fast and he's doing too much and he's whatever, you can pull on that rope and kind of pull him back a little bit if he's crashing too much or whatever, if he's racing over his head. But if you have a race car driver that's under performing and not doing as good, you can't push that rope. It ain't going anywhere, you know? So I feel like Jeff is the guy that sometimes he'll pull me back and he'll be like, all right, man, like, let's come back to reality a little bit. We can't quite go there. We can't quite do that yet or whatever. So I feel like there's a good balance there because I like to push. And there are times where I go to Jeff or I go to David or I go to Samantha or I go to Ryan, whoever's on our team, and I'm going to ask them to do certain things and go about it a certain way and push them a little bit. But then I'm also going to say, but check with Jeff. You know what I mean? So I do let Jeff have his leadership and his opportunity to run this thing too.
Again, it's just a lot different than, you know, the natural space, which you were involved in for many years. What are some of the pain points shifting from a business like Suja, where, you know, you were built in Whole Foods, to the energy drink category, where I'm assuming you're certainly not starting out in Whole Foods?
No, I think that, you know, the difference between Suja starting up and Rowdy starting up, they're really, really different. As you can imagine, Suja was the number three cold pressed juice brand that ultimately really built the cold pressed juice category. Although, you know, in total, the cold pressed juice category is significantly smaller than the energy drink space. So, you know, we grew Rowdy. Rowdy is very different. Rowdy is later, arguably whatever inning you want to call it, but it is later. It's more mature. You've got big companies that have big distribution agreements, as you mentioned. So we have to do it smart. We have to do it really smart, just like the product is what we call smart, clean energy. You know, we have to build the business smart and in a clean way. You know, it's really about not doing what Suja did, because they're really fundamentally different businesses, but picking the things that we did well at Suja and kind of pulling those out. You know, one of the things that I've talked about before, Ray, is the concept of health without the punishment. You know, is that we all want to do, or not all, but let's say 90% of us all want to do it a little bit, eat or drink a little bit healthier, but we all come into that point of that curve at different points. And we don't want to be penalized, you know, with bad taste by going into it, or most of us won't repeat. So we created this concept at Suja called health without the punishment. So you're not being punished, you know, by trying the product. And I think when you try Rowdy, one of the really unique things about it is the product just tastes really good. You know, we created it in a really clean way. It's all natural. There's no preservatives. It's a product that can easily be sold on the Whole Foods shelves, as well as, you know, every gas station in the country, and compete against, you know, head to head with Monster. I feel like we've done it really smart. We've got a really good base with the team that we've got. And then we've got the connections through Kyle to be able to get to the places we want to get to, and then through myself as well. Again, it's about tilting that field slightly, you know, to your advantage.
Liquid to lips, it's really important in the beverage industry, getting people to try the product. I know it was helpful for Suja. Certainly, it seems like it'd be helpful for Audi Energy. Given the current circumstances, field marketing, sampling events, much more difficult, if not impossible, in certain parts of the country, which is why branding becomes so important. And one of the reasons that Suja became the category leader in cold pressed juice is its ability to resonate with consumers on a brand level. What are some of the lessons, the branding lessons and elements that you plan to incorporate into Rowdy?
Although we are creating at Rowdy, and the ethos of it is Kyle, and the racing component is the denominator, if you will. As we build it out, we want to build it out as a lifestyle brand, because we've really seen the value of what a Suja can be as a lifestyle brand. But also, as you look at these two or three large brands that are in the space, they've become media conglomerates, and they're not really, and they're going after the extreme athletes and stuff like that. We want to go after the everyday athlete, the weekend warrior, which is the vast majority of the people, and they've kind of been left out. You're either at the fitness, the super fitness type folks, or you're the media folks, and you're not really being talked to from just the general wellness, health and wellness of consumers.
Looking at the brand itself, looking at the packaging, white can, a big R on the front, Rowdy Energy. On the bottom is a black strip that says 60% less sugar and lists green tea, caffeine, endurance and focus, enhanced energy. The one thing I don't see on the front of the can is its affiliation, or the brand's affiliation, with Kyle.
Yeah, so with what we've done with Rowdy Energy, obviously it's my nickname, and I've kind of built this persona, if you will, in the NASCAR space and in the world I work in, I live in. But we wanted this brand to be able to stand out on its own and not have me need to be associated with it in order to be successful. So this is something that'll go on down the line past me being in racing, hopefully, that it can be successful and can continue to be its own company and stand on its own two feet and not need me to carry it along the way. So that's why there's not more insignia on the can for it being tied to me, is that it should be able to be its own brand.
You know, I ask this question to a lot of entrepreneurs that I speak with, and it's about success. How do you define success? What is your vision for success? In racing, Kyle, winning a race seems to be a pretty definitive way to determine whether you're successful or not. Winning the NASCAR Cup Series, very definitive way to determine that you are a champion among your peers. How will you determine whether or not Rowdy Energy is a successful brand?
I think in my eyes, as long as we're continuing to gain percentage of the market, gain sales, gain stores, continue to work our way up the ladder and be successful, then to me that is a success. You know, whether it's 2%, you'd like it to not be 2%. You'd like to grow somewhere in the 30s, probably to 50s at least for a year or two. And then obviously we've seen other brands that have really shot up and skyrocketed in the 100s to 200%. So, I mean, if we can do that, then we're definitely doing something right. And those are obviously numbers that we can shoot and strive for. But to be realistic and set relative goals, you know, growing at a 30% rate would certainly be successful to me. And continuing that way up for years to come, you know, I mean, I think that once it's developed into a top five brand, I would take that as success. Like you said, you know, when you're in racing, you work towards winning and being number one and being a champion and everything else. But in this world, I feel like it's entirely different. There are the top two guys that have been the top two guys in this space for the entirety of the energy space being in existence. And I don't really foresee them changing from those top two guys, but we can certainly compete with them and be within the same market space as them.
You know, and Jeff, you've created a highly successful brand with Suja. Not easy, obviously, as we talked about the beverage industry, a very challenging one. You know, what are the key elements of success in your mind?
Yeah, I mean, to me, the when we can see meaningful new consumers coming into the brand or coming into the category, that to me is one measure of success, because, you know, that really is about incrementality. It's we're not going to get into a fist fight with, you know, Monster at a commodity price level. We have expensive ingredients. You know, we're pricing our product competitively, but, you know, we need to get a decent price for our product. So bringing new consumers into the space is success to me. The other success, and I mean, it's a little bit tongue in cheek, but Kyle turns 35 soon, and we've put together a 5-year plan that puts Rowdy at a billion dollar brand, and when he turns 40 in 5 years. So we have a 5-year plan that we've, you know, it's loose for sure, But we, you know, it all hinges, of course, on a proof of concept working well. First of all, getting product on the shelf. And again, like I said earlier, I've been pleased with the success we've had so far with that. But then secondly, is getting the product off the shelf and getting it off the shelf in a manner that you can make a profit at. So again, it's about these different milestones. You know, we've got some milestones of building out a certain number of doors, you know, by the end of this year, a certain number of doors by the end of next year, you know, some different channels. And then just building out our team, you know, as a startup, you're in the early stages, everything's pretty virtual. So, you know, you've got to be pretty variable and virtual. Otherwise, you end up spending a ton of money. As we start getting on the shelf, now we've got to, we're doing merchandising. We are doing field marketing. We're not doing field marketing in person necessarily, but we're doing digital field marketing. So we're kind of adapting to the times with that. But, you know, it's just these important milestones along the way. There are certain growth numbers, but I think oftentimes entrepreneurs get, I know I did in the beginning with Suja, but don't really understand the difference in distribution growth and velocity growth. And someone a long time ago told me that I would understand that eventually. And I did. And distribution growth is a lot easier to get than being able to sustain and remain on the shelf. So that's where the brand building, you know, stuff really comes in, because you've got to be able to lean on that. But we've got, you know, 500,000 avid people that, you know, that want this to work. So to me, that's an incredible wind beneath our wings.
Yeah, for sure. On the distribution front, you can certainly get into every 7-Eleven in the country if you have enough money to support the brand. But then again, even if you do support the brand, getting people to buy it and buy it on a regular basis, i.e. velocity, that's a little bit more challenging.
But it's about, you know, for that, it's about the experience. It's about creating that emotional connection, you know, with the consumer. And Samantha, Kyle's wife, does a lot of fitness, kids fitness related stuff. And, you know, she's really active in Instagram. In fact, she responds to all of our social media related stuff. So again, I mean, having those people involved and engaged is just, it's so important. It makes such a difference.
Definitely. Well, this has been great. Thank you guys for taking the time to speak with me. I really appreciate it. Kyle, I'm looking forward to seeing you back behind the wheel of a race car. Do you have any sense of when that might be?
Not yet, no. I mean, we certainly hope soon and getting back to the racetrack for all of our sanities, if you will. But, you know, they haven't set out any announcements quite yet, but I would assume we're looking towards somewhere end of May, hopefully, and June time.
Well, you know, it sounds like you've got plenty of time to work on your brand in the meantime.
Oh, I'm working on it. The next one's going to be Rowdy's Painting Service coming to you.
Rowdy Painting Service.
Indeed. Once again, Kyle, Jeff, thank you so much. Good luck with everything going forward with Rowdy. It sounds like you've got a great team in place, and that's as important as anything.
Right on, man. Appreciate it very much. Thank you.
Thanks, Ray.
That brings us to the end of episode 212. Thank you so much for listening, and thanks to our guests, Kyle Busch and Jeff Church. You can catch both Taste Radio and Taste Radio Insider on tasteradio.com, the Apple Podcasts app, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. As always, for questions, comments, ideas for future podcasts, please send us an email to ask@tasteradio.com. On behalf of the entire Taste Radio team, thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.